भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Krishna is the source of all incarnations, text number 23. Ekona vimshe vimshati me Vishnishu prapya janmani Rama Krishna iti bhuvo Bhagavan haradbharam Ekonavimche vimshati me Vrishnishu prapya janmani Rama Krishna iti bhuvo Bhagavan haradbharam Ekonavimche vimshati me Vrishnishu prapya janmani Ramakrishna iti bhuvo Bhagavan haradharam Ekona Vimshe in the 19th. Vimshatime in the 20th also. Vrishnishu in the Vrishni dynasty. Prapya having obtained. Janmani births. Rama Balaram. Krishna Shri Krishna. Iti thus. Bhuvaha of the world. Bhagavan the personality of Godhead. Aharat removed. Bharam, burden. Translation. In the 19th and 20th incarnations, the Lord advented himself as Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna in the family of Vrishni, the Yadu dynasty, and by so doing, he removed the burden of the world. Translation responsively. In the 19th and 20th incarnations, the Lord advented himself as Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna in the family of Vrishni, and by so doing he removed the burden of the world. The specific mention of the word Bhagavan in this text indicates that Balaram and Krishna are original forms of the Lord. This will be further explained later. Lord Krishna is not an incarnation of the Purush, as we learn from the beginning of this chapter. He is directly the original personality of Godhead, and Balaram is the first plenary manifestation of the Lord. From Baladev, the first phalanx of plenary expansions, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna expands. Lord Shri Krishna is Vasudev, and Baladev is Sankarshan. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmritam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, in this text, we are in text number 23 of the third chapter of the first canto. And here, the 19th and 20th incarnations of the Lord are described. And they are, as is mentioned here, they are Krishna and Balaram. So, it's interesting, they are described as incarnations of the Lord. Sorry, the Lord adventured himself. No, that's wrong, not incarnation of the Lord. So, the Lord adventured himself as Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna in the family of Rishni dynasty. So in the previous text we've heard of the different incarnations of the Lord. Narad Muni, Prithu Maharaj, Lord Ram is the previous verse. Parsharam, Vyasadev, Dhanvantri, Vamandev, Lord Nishima, and the next verse we'll hear is Lord Buddha and Kurma Avatar, and so on and so forth. So many incarnations were mentioned. So, and here, Krishna and Balaram are mentioned. They are actually the source of all the other incarnations. They are actually not, they are not coming from the Purusha. I mean, they come through the Purusha, but they are actually the source of the Purusha, as it's mentioned here. So, the material world is maintained by the Purusha Avatars. So we have, there's the three Purushas, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and Chirodakshaya Vishnu. They actually are there for the purpose of maintaining the material creation to facilitate the conditioned soul's desire to lord it over matter. And therefore, all these incarnations come again, time and time again, to basically reclaim the conditioned souls and to reduce the burden of the world, as is mentioned here. So, Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan and he's the source of everyone else. As is mentioned, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. So Krishna is the cause of all causes and he is the source of all the other incarnations. So from Krishna's first expansion is Lord Balaram. So the difference, there's not much difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram. The difference is in their color. Krishna is blackish bluish, like the color of Shamsundar, of a cloud, and Lord Balaram is white, and their dress is also different. Lord Krishna likes to wear yellow and Lord Balaram likes to wear blue, but apart from that there is not much difference. And Lord Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna, and as is mentioned in the purport here, from Balaram the first phalanx of venerary expansions appear, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha and Pradyumna, and then the second phalanx comes. So in this way, Krishna is the source. So when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, Krishna was the younger brother of Lord Balaram. So, but sometimes their roles reverse. One takes the position of a younger brother, other takes the position of an older brother. Like we see in the previous verse about the descent of Lord Ram. So Lakshman is actually none other than Lord Balaram, and he took the role of a younger brother and Lord Ram was the older brother. So and in here we see Lord Krishna is the younger brother and Lord Balaram is the older brother. And then they also appeared as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. But even Lord Chaitanya is not an incarnation, because Lord Chaitanya is none other than Krishna himself and Lord Nityananda is none other than Lord Balaram himself. So they are never incarnation, they are actually the source of all the other incarnations. So Krishna is known as Avatari, not Avatar. So Avatar is are described in the previous verses, and Krishna is actually the avatari. And Krishna appeared in the family of the Yadu dynasty. So even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I think in the 9th canto, we hear about so many kings. So chapter after chapter, page after page, we hear about basically the lineage of the Yadu dynasty. So and because Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty, the Yadu dynasty became very famous. So anything in relationship to Krishna is has importance and is glorified. Like we see, for example, the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It's very famous because it's in relationship to the Lord. And similarly, even the Yadu dynasty, and then in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's mentioned that Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty. Just like the example is given of sandalwood, because sandalwood is generally found in this place called the Malaya Hills. So that place is famous because you can find sandalwood there. So similarly, the Yadu dynasty is glorified because Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty. And the Yadu dynasty is its origins is from actually the moon god. And we see either the Lord generally appears in the dynasty of the sun god or the moon god. So in this case, Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty. And even when Krishna took birth, though Krishna is unborn, and when Krishna took birth, it was it's described in the Krishna book that there was actually a full moon appearance, and even the Rohini constellation was there. So all auspicious conditions were manifest when Krishna appeared on this planet. So, and we even see as the Krishna consciousness movement becomes more and more prominent, then all kinds of auspicious conditions will manifest on the earth. It's not that just because Krishna appeared and therefore all these auspicious signs were manifest, but because Krishna is non-different from his holy name, and as the holy name spreads more and more all over the world, then we'll actually see a change in the condition of the planet or the environment. So, and even more and more auspicious signs will be manifest. So when Krishna appeared, all the rivers were full. The Brahmanas were able to perform their sacrifices, which were being obstructed by Kamsa. And when Krishna appeared, basically all the stars became aligned in such a way that it was a very auspicious sign. So the Rohini constellation appeared. And basically, Krishna appears to remove the burden of the world. So, not only Krishna, but all the incarnations of the Lord, they appear to remove this burden of the world. So what is the burden of the world? So, the burden of the world is basically the desire of the conditioned living entities to enjoy separately from Krishna, or to think that they can find happiness separate from Krishna by their own endeavor. So this is basically the burden of the world. And the burden is not that because there's 6 billion people, so therefore the earth has become overloaded with people. That's not a burden. The earth can actually handle more than 6 billion people. That's not a problem for the earth. And back then, even the population of the earth was much more. Even if you see back in the ages, people would have like 10 children. That was very common. Even in Muslim families these days, they have 10 kids. And even in the Vedic times, even in Krishna's family, he had 10 kids from each of his wife, of his 16,108 wives. So the population was actually huge. So for the earth to maintain a big population is not a problem. There is actually enough resources for everyone. And the earth can produce unlimited resources to sustain everyone. So, but the earth restricts its natural supplies when people are not following the plan of the Lord. So when the general population does not follow the plan because the kings are degraded, then therefore the earth restricts its natural supplies. So the supplies are like silk, gold, minerals, water, fresh produce, all these things are restricted when the kings are not saintly, and therefore the rest of the population also becomes degraded. So the burden of the world is basically the mentality that we can find happiness through our own endeavors, or we have had some success in finding happiness by our own endeavors. So basically Krishna comes to check this kind of burden. And as is from Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata abhithyanam hi dharmasya tadatmana sujamiham. So Krishna appears again and again whenever there is a decline in religious practice. And there's a prominence in irreligion. So Krishna appears basically to again reduce the burden. So in the bygone ages, the burden was removed by killing the demoniac people. So even we see when even in Krishna's descent, Krishna killed so many demons. So right from his childhood. But of course that's not the main reason why Krishna appears. Krishna mainly appears to give pleasure to his devotees. So that's the main purpose of Krishna's descent. But side by side, Krishna also kills the demons. So, but that's not the main function is to give pleasure to his devotees who are hankering for his association. And we see generally devotees in the material world are put in troublesome situations because the material world is a place where rebellious living entities are present. So obviously they are not going to favor the devotees very much because the devotees are telling them that, you know, you should surrender to Krishna and give up your attempts for so-called happiness. And no one actually likes to hear that. So that's the mentality of the conditioned soul. So the conditioned soul, therefore they create obstructions for the devotees. Even we see with Prahlad Maharaj, he was given such a hard time by his own father because he was a devotee. So we see how Prahlad Maharaj was tried to Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj in so many ways because he was simply a devotee. So in the material world, when we take up to Krishna consciousness, there will always be some opposition on an individual level, and even if the movement is growing, there has to be some opposition. And if opposition is there, then basically it's a sign of success. In other words, something is happening. So in the material world, this obstruction is there to the mission of the Lord. And even when Krishna appeared, there were so many demons, and Krishna removed the burden of the world by killing all these demoniac people. So right from his childhood, he killed so many demons. Shaktasura, Bakasura, Trinavarta, Putana, you know, one after the other, he killed so many demons. And the reason Krishna appeared was because Bhumi Devi was in a distressed condition. So, Bhumi Devi was basically distressed by demoniac kings present on the earth. By the militaristic spirit of those kings. So when the kings are not saintly, then basically they engage in militaristic pursuits meant to conquer territory. In other words, to try to lord it over nature by the militaristic endeavors of trying to occupy more territory and have more control, and in other ways get more facilities for sense gratification. And even we see that's the condition of the world these days. Because our leaders are not saintly, therefore they are accumulating more and more weapons. So you see how many nuclear bombs are present on this planet. There's so much nuclear arsenal. So many countries want nuclear weapons. But the result is that they actually end up using it on each other, and they destroy each other. And we saw that even in World War II, with the atom bombs, America dropped them on Japan, and they killed so many people. So when the leadership is not saintly, they engage in militaristic pursuits, and then they destroy each other. And that was actually the condition, even when Krishna, that was even the condition 5,000 years ago. So therefore Bhumi was in a distressed condition, and she was lamenting that so many kings were walking on a surface, basically trying to lord it over, and they were actually considered to be a burden by Bhumi Devi. And then Bhumi approached Lord Brahma for a solution. And then Lord Brahma and all the demigods, they went to the shore of the milk ocean. And then they recited the Purusha Shukta, and these are the standard prayers to appease the Lord. So in other words, they asked the Lord for protection, because they were not able to make a solution to the problems of the earth, of the world. So Bhumi Devi took the form of a cow, and then she was actually crying. And then with all the demigods, they went to the milk ocean and they recited this Purusha Shukta, and then there was a message was transmitted within the heart of Brahma. So then the Lord said that I will appear as Krishna in order to diminish the burden of the world. And all of you demigods, you take birth in the Vrishni dynasty to assist me in my mission. And then all the different demigods, they took birth in various families. And then in due course of time, Krishna appeared. So even if you see, the descent of the Lord is also very, very interesting. And the reason Krishna appeared, as is mentioned here, is actually to remove this burden of the world. And therefore, it was the Lord's plan to enact the battle of Kurukshetra, again to diminish the burden of the world. So in bygone ages, in Kali Yuga, it's not possible to diminish the burden of the world in this way by killing the demoniac people, because if all the demoniac people have to be killed, then we won't be sitting here. We won't be having a Bhagavatam class, because we all were demoniac, or maybe even are. So therefore, it's not possible, because in Kali Yuga, everyone is very demoniac. And if you look at the condition of the world, people are very, very demoniac. They are engaged in the four vices. Back then, you know, very few people were engaging in the four vices. But in the Kali Yuga, it's very prominent. So in the bygone ages, the burden of the world was diminished by the Lord by annihilating the demoniac people. And as Krishna did it, performing so many leelas, he killed so many demons. Every day he would kill one or two demons. So that was his pastime. And even we see that it's interesting, even Jarasandha was the enemy of the Lord, and he was very demoniac. And Krishna was very smart. So Jarasandha came to kill Krishna with his huge army, and Krishna killed his entire army, and then he left Jarasandha alone. He didn't kill him, because he knew that when Jarasandha would go back, he would be counseled by his demoniac ministers, and again there he would amass a big army. And so like that, Krishna killed his army, Is it 17 times? 17 times. So 17 times he came with so many Akshauhini divisions, and Krishna killed all of them. But he left Jarasandha alone. And in this way he humiliated him. That's actually a very big humiliation for a Kshatriya. That, you know, either Kshatriyas have to be killed on the battlefield, or then they go to heaven, or they basically achieve victory and they enjoy the kingdom. So to come out of the battlefield where you're humiliated in this way is actually worse than death for a Kshatriya. But so Jarasandha was very ashamed, but again and again he was counseled by his demoniac ministers, and he would again amass a huge army, and again they would be killed by Krishna. And it's described in the Krishna book that there was like a river of blood. So many soldiers were killed, and in that there were heads of horses, elephants, trunks of men, arms, you know, it was a very ghastly scene. So it was like a river of blood flowing. There was so many people were killed. And even in the battle of Kurukshetra was again the plan of the Lord, to again get all the demoniac people from all over the world in one place and wipe them off. So Krishna did that. Krishna did that through his devotees, the Pandavas. So the Pandavas were pure devotees, and they were put into so much trouble, and even Draupadi was insulted by being tried to strip her naked. So in so many ways, then they were sent into exile. And even when they came back, they asked for their rightful throne, which they didn't get. They asked for 5 villages, they didn't get that. And even Krishna went as a messenger to Duryodhan, and still he didn't give any land to them. So war was inevitable. In so many ways Krishna tried to stop it, but ultimately it was the plan of the Lord to get everyone together and just wipe them off. So Krishna diminishes the burden of the world. The reason for that is basically to establish a saintly kingdom. Therefore Krishna wanted the Pandavas to rule, because the Pandavas, there are many reasons, but one of the reasons is the Pandavas are pious and they are saintly. So he wanted a saintly leadership who could guide everyone to go back to Godhead. So that's the reason Krishna appears, because the material world is a place where conditioned souls are rebellious, and Krishna wants them to go back to Godhead. Though we conditioned souls, we don't want to go back to Godhead. We don't have that desire. But Krishna wants us to go back to Godhead and to stop suffering here. And therefore, again, time and time, he will diminish the burden of the world by establishing a saintly order, a Rajarshi, a saintly king. And even now we see that, so Krishna has come to diminish the burden of the world, so he has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu diminishes the burden of the world by killing the demoniac consciousness of the living entities. So by this spreading of the Sankirtan movement, basically, so Lord Chaitanya also has his weapons. What's that verse? Yagyaya Sankirtana Praya. How did it start? Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yagyaya Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumerasa. So Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam. So Krishna appears, Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam. So Krishna appears in a golden form, yellowish form. So that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam. So Krishna has, so in this incarnation he has his weapons. So those weapons are his associates, his devotees, his confidential associates. And what do? They yagyaya sankirtana prayer. So they engage in the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So by engaging in the Sankirtan movement of spreading the holy names, that actually diminishes the burden of the world by killing this demoniac propensity of the living entities to enjoy separately from Krishna. So even Srila Prabhupada said that if we are given more facility to chant, then people's hearts will change. That's a fact, you know. So we can see when we started coming into Krishna consciousness, we were exposed to kirtan, prasadam, and in this way our consciousness has changed over a period of time. And we see that when even people come in contact with devotees, over a period of time their hearts change. And places where they've been doing a lot of Harinam Sankirtan, people have changed. Like we see with Indradyumna Maharaj's preaching in Poland, they're doing so much chanting. But people have changed over the decades. Even the government officials, their hearts have melted. So this definitely works. This works inside. It's because in this day and age, everyone can't be killed, then you know no one will be left. So in this day and age, Lord Chaitanya, he diminishes the burden of the world by the spreading of the Sankirtan movement. And also another way the burden of the world is diminished when people engage in sinful activities by the law of karma. So by the law of karma, when there's, like for example, there's so much meat eating, therefore Prabhupada explained all these wars take place because of so much meat eating and sinful activities. Then people are put together and wiped off. And in that way again the burden of the world is reduced. So as we'll hear in verse number 28, Ete Shamsa Kalapamsa. So again we'll hear about that Krishna is actually the source of all the other incarnations. And that purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada elaborates. Srila Prabhupada elaborates on the position of the Supreme Lord Krishna and his plenary portions. Yes. Well, Kurukshetra was different. You can't compare it to, you know, mundane wars. Like Kurukshetra, I don't know. Kurukshetra, the battle of Kurukshetra was fought. If you see, Duryodhan's administration was perfect. You know, Duryodhan, people were looked after very nicely, everything was going alright. But the battle of Kurukshetra was fought on the principles of injustice. Because the throne actually belonged to Yudhishthir, he was the rightful inheritor of the throne. But because he was not put on the throne, therefore the war was fought. Again, to put a saintly king there. So these days the wars are different. These days the wars are fought for sense gratification mainly. And again so many wars will take place. Even now so many wars are taking place all over the world. So yeah, wars will take place because of sinful activities. So the way devotees are fighting a war is by preaching Krishna consciousness. So that's the war we are waging on Maya, or against the established rule of the world. So our war is by spreading Krishna consciousness. So that's the kind of war happening right now, from a spiritual perspective. But otherwise, so many wars are taking place, and they will take place because of sinful activities. There has to be a reaction.
Thank you.
They forgot to worship what?
The mouth of pure Purushottama, which is the mouth of Purushottama. Forget why.
Oh, okay. The mouth of Purushottama. Sorry. Okay.
So this was actually the reason why the offer was called as president and the other thing called.
Right. Okay. That's interesting.
Krishna is like this.
Okay. That's a deeper reason.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Yes, not good. Okay, so if we are performing sinful activities, there will be a reaction to those sinful activities, and we will suffer in this life and the next life. And all those sinful reactions, they will lead to a misunderstanding, because you know you're going to get a reaction from someone, and probably that reaction will be because of some misunderstanding. I would think so, yes. Anyone like to add to that, or? But mainly for any sinful activity, there has to be some reaction. We don't know how it will manifest. That's laws of karma. So, there will be quarrel, misunderstanding, all these things will be there. It might not be the sinful reaction, but could be. Anyway, I'm speculating, so better keep my mouth shut. Kantraj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Prabhupada ki.